Hi, and welcome to What the Phalange, the podcast where we watch every episode of Friends, discuss it, deconstruct it, and fan over it one episode at a time.
My name is Emily, pronouns she and her.
And my name is Quinn, pronouns they, them. This week, we're talking about season 2, episode 17, the one where Eddie moves in.
This episode aired on February 22nd, 1996. It was written by David Crane, Marta Kaufman, and Adam Chase, and it was directed by Michael Lembeck.
According to IMDb, this is the episode where Chandler gets a new roommate, Phoebe gets the chance to make a music video for her song Smelly Cat, and Ross and Monica clash when he is always at her and Rachel's apartment. I didn't read the sentence in advance, but essentially they fight.
That's a struggle. This is also the one where Joey's eggs aren't there anymore and Smelly Cat has so many levels.
So many levels. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Quinn.
How's it going?
It's going okay. How are you doing?
This morning has also been a struggle. But it's a nice sunny day here in the city. And
Wee wee.
So, Emily, what do you think of this episode?
I think like this is one of those episodes that has a lot of really good one-liners. And you get to see a couple of like the really good aspects of the writing of Friends, mm-hmm. Just like the relationship between Joey and Chandler, Phoebe being kind of dans la lune is really cute. And like, you get to see a little bit more into Monica and Ross, like growing up and what that must have been like and how brutal that must have been. I don't know. I think it's a cute episode. I wouldn't say like the most memorable episode, but it's definitely got like some really good and memorable scenes and lines.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm taking notes as you write.
All right. How about you?
Well, okay. So do you have three things that you want to talk about?
Not really. I think like I want to talk about, I guess I can kind of go for it, but I want to talk a little bit about Chandler and Joey's relationship and like the way in which it's explored again in this episode. It's kind of like a breakup, because I think they did that a lot in the last episode, and I think it's just a really cute episode in that degree. I also want to talk about, what else do I want to talk about? Music videos, maybe a little bit, I think. And then, like,
oof, yeah, okay. 90s music videos.
Yeah. And then I also want to talk a little bit about, like, Monica and Ross's relationship and how they became the people they are today.
Do we, later in this episode, want to compare their childhood relationship to our childhood relationship?
I do not.
I'm going to bring it up anyway.
All right. Let's do it. What about you?
So I want to talk about, in the same vein as like the Joey Chandler situation, what I wrote down in my notes is homoeroticism versus male intimacy. And I want to like have a discussion about that, which is, I feel like, a topic that has come up in the podcast past. I want to kind of like take a look at like this episode sort of being like Phoebe's relationship with everyone and how it's like particularly unique to like how she has a relationship with everyone compared to how everyone else has a relationship with each other a little bit. And I also want to talk about the situation with the pie in the hood.
Yeah.
And I think the bigger question being is this what partners are for?
Yeah, I think, like, that, when I was saying, like, there's some memorable scenes, like, I think that scene is one of the most, like, for me, one of the most memorable Friends scene. Like, I just think it's, like, anyways, we'll get to it when we get to it, but it's so good.
And then, I think later in the episode, I just want to sort of touch base. There's, like, a whole debacle right now in all of the newses everywhere about, like, Joe Rogan versus Neil Young and Spotify, and a lot of podcasts are pulling themselves off of Spotify, and I just want to like maybe just touch base and check in about that later on.
Cool. All right, let's do it.
Okay, so we have the opening scene, and we're in Joey's new apartment. Emily?
It's rough.
And I have a question for you. So do you think this is what Joey's taste has been all along, like hidden underneath a layer of other parts of Joey? Or do you think he just walked into the wrong store?
I think that, like, Joey thinks that this is what rich people like.
Right. Like, he's trying to, like, embody this vision of, like, of someone that he wants to be. But yeah. It's not necessarily him.
Yeah. Like, I think that Joey is, like, a lot more, like, chill and, like, Italian traditional in terms of his decorating.
Right.
Like, than, like, liking a bunch of random shit. Like... And I think that he just bought a bunch of random shit because he could afford to buy a bunch of random shit. Because that's, right. like, what you do when you're, like, have no money and then suddenly have more money than you've ever had.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just keep thinking of all, like, the dogs and the is it a panther? Is it a table? No need to know.
I love the, like, waterfall thing. Yeah. And he's like, kind of makes me want to pee.
And Phoebe's like, I think that's kind of the point.
I think that's the challenge.
or the genuine Muppet skin pillow, which is, anyway.
Oh, yeah.
It's just
some good lines there.
So many sure. good lines. I mean, it's a pretty easy playing field to make some good lines.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I also love how there's like he's so excited by the fact that there's a phone in his bathroom and like yeah. Monica just being appalled by the idea of him calling her on that phone. And like, just like we all bring our phones into the bathroom nowadays.
Like 100%, like 50% of the time when someone's texting you, they're currently pooping. Like
I don't know about 50%.
I think it's
pretty... I'm going to now think that 50% of the time that you text me, you're pooping.
Okay, well, I text you a lot, and I don't poop that much, so...
Well, I don't know.
I also want to point out that Joey's toilet is black.
Yes.
Did you notice that?
I did. That was, like, a thing.
Was it a thing?
You don't remember when, like, when toilets, like, in the 90s were, like, colored ceramic? Like, you'd go to friends' houses and they'd have, like, blue toilets or, like, pink toilets. Yeah, but,
oh my God, we had that. We had that.
I think we had.
But that wasn't 90s. That was, like, we had, it was, like, that baby blue in one bathroom and baby pink in the other bathroom.
Yeah, and then the Merricks who lived behind us, they also had a colored toilet.
Oh my God.
Colored ceramic toilets. That was a thing. That was a 90s thing.
That's, yeah.
I don't know about 90s, but it was a thing.
No, it definitely wasn't 90s. It was pre- 90s. Like when we were living there, it was the 90s. But right.
Now, yeah. Like, it's, I feel like it would be more rare to see a toilet. Maybe not. Do you have a colored ceramic toilet?
Yeah, I really want to know.
Tell us.
Yeah, I especially want to know if it's like a recent decorating decision that makes it. Or have you just been to a decorating store lately and noticed that there are different colored toilets? Because I have not been to a decorating store as of late.
There are some fun ones that I can see by just Googling.
On Pinterest?
Colored toilets. And I found this that says, do toilets come in different colors? The more you learn. I'm on Home Depot right now. I can see some black toilets. So it's not an odd thing.
It's not an eradicated concept. Doesn't mean that it's not an odd thing.
Oh my God, look, there's a pink toilet seat. I want a pink toilet seat.
But a toilet seat is different than a toilet.
Yeah, but this is a fully black toilet that I'm seeing. Like, every option on Home Depot has an option to get your toilet in black.
Well, it's a matte black. Now I want it.
Yeah, maybe it's better in terms of, like, cleaning. Would dirt show up more or less?
I don't know. So, let's move on. So then we have the opening credits. We have,
this is the pie in the coat.
Yes. So scene opens in the cafe. Rachel is walking over to the couch, gets knocked or trips
yeah.
or something, and then dumps pie into the hood of someone's coat. I just feel like this is, you know, Friends, their strength is coming up with scenarios that feel like either they have happened to you or they've almost happened to you, or even though they haven't.
Yeah.
Like, it's like one of those things where you're like, somehow this feels very reasonable.
It's also just like you don't expect that to happen. Like you're watching the beginning of that scene and then she trips and like you're like, oh, she tripped, and then the pie like falls perfectly into the hood. And it's just like one of those moments where we're like, oh damn.
It's a perfect pie pocket. Like it's maybe that is the reason we have hoods. To keep our pie pockets.
But it's just like I love her like her initial reaction is like, I am not gonna deal with this.
Goes to Monica, we just ran out. So then this is when Phoebe comes in and she's like, I've been discovered, mm-hmm. which is very cute. And I'm always, this is just Phoebe being so unique, but I feel like I wouldn't have much patience for this situation where she like sets it up. She's like, hey guys, don't freak out until, like, I've told you what I want to tell you. And it's like, well, obviously people are going to react to good news.
Right.
It's just so...
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that's a lot of, like, what the humor is of the scene. It's, like, her just, like, being so excited about something but not wanting them to be excited right away about it. Like, you need to hold your excitement.
I feel like Phoebe is, like, always trying something. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. and it's become so second nature to the group that they're sort of like, okay, Phoebe.
Right. I also, like, I want to ask the question, like, who heard this song and was like, we should definitely make a music video for this song? Like, no. No.
I know. Especially, okay, well, we're not there yet, but the music video that is made.
Yeah. But it's like, okay, yeah, we'll get there.
We'll get there, yeah.
But then just, okay, so then the scene is kind of over. They're very excited for...
Phoebe.
She's going to be doing this music video.
But then, okay. So then as the scene is closing off, though, the guy with the pie in his hood starts to get up and he puts on his coat and is about to leave. Yeah. Which, first of all, I feel like you would feel the weight difference in your coat as you put it on, you know?
Interesting.
And then Rachel freaks out and is like,
if you care about me at all.
If you care about me at all, get the pie out of the hood. And I will say that I'm very maybe impressed. I don't know what it is, but like Ross really loves Rachel.
Yeah, for sure.
And just
the pie in the hood.
And just does it. Like, yeah. I feel like every time I watch this scene, from like the very first time I saw it, I've just like always been like, is this what partners do for each other? I feel like it redefines, like, is this what... I don't know. And I guess my question to everyone is, what is the weirdest thing you've done for your partner? You know, like, they have asked you to do, maybe with no explanation. And if you have a story, I actually really genuinely want to hear it. So please email it to us and we'll share it with everyone.
Interesting.
WTPhalange@gmail.com.
Nice. That's great. It's also like, it's one of those things where like, I don't know what you would do if this happened to you. Like if you were the person in the hood.
I know.
If someone just was like, my pie was in your hood. Also like, Rachel decided to first ignore it, but then decided to do something about it. And my question is like, imagine if she didn't and that guy just like goes home and then takes off his coat and sees a pie in his hood.
I know. Like, I feel like... They should have just ended it that way. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know.
I feel like that would have been a better decision than sending Ross off to retrieve the pie in the hood.
Either way, it's weird.
Like, it's not like you can serve it to anyone after.
Yeah, I guess, like, was she worried that, like, he would be, like, go back to Central Perk and complain that someone put a pie in his hood? Like, it's just a weird scenario. I don't know what I would do.
It is.
And then, sorry.
Yeah, and then to not go, like just like breeze over it, there is like that turning to mental health is like a way to kind of, I guess, like as a point of humor / I don't know.
I'll be back in the hospital by noon or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like awkward, but I have to say like Ross's acting in this is just so on point. Like David Schwimmer, again, he's just like, such good like physical and facial expressions.
Yeah. Kind of humor. The look on his face where it's like him trying to think on the fly in this really horrible situation. And it's just like on point, you know, I feel like I would look like that, you know?
It's great. Yeah, he thinks pretty fast too. He's like, yeah. Anyways, it's excellent. I love it.
So then next we're at Monica and Rachel's apartment. Mm-hmm. And it opens up to Monica banging real hard on the door, the bathroom door, trying to be let in.
Yes.
Because Ross is moosing his hair, probably.
Drying his hair?
Gelling his hair.
He said drying, I thought.
Right. Well, he probably put the gel in first and then is drying the gel.
Is that what you do? I thought gel was like, I thought mousse was one that you dry, but gel is like you don't dry after you've put it in.
I think it's the type of, you know what? I don't know is anything gel, about yeah, this.
Is gel like universally more of a thing in the early 2000s, late 90s? And like prior to that, like how many people like use gel nowadays?
I think that 90s was the gel era. And then the 2000s was the mousse era. You know, like I remember.
What data is this based off of?
It's based off of Mark's teenagehood and my teenagehood.
Interesting.
So like gel was a big thing for a while, like when he was younger, like in elementary school and. Our brother is like 3 years older than me. So that's what I'm gauging by. And so like, and that was like the really gel period of time where he always had like gel in his hair. And then I know that like that became less of a thing. Cause I remember in elementary school, like everyone had gel in their hair.
I remember like you had to have like sleek hair.
And like, but like, think of, well, also now the spiky, sleek but spiky. Like, think of like NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys.
Totally.
Yeah. Hair gel, all that's over true. The place. And then you get to like the 2000s, and that's when like the putting mousse in your hair and like curling it with like the part of the hairdryer that has the pokey things. It's like a little pan with like the pokey things. And then you like blow dry it by like scrunching up your hair.
I feel like you're describing your hair journey and not necessarily a universal.
No, it's definitely not universal at all. But I do feel that my personal journey will be affected by mainstream pop culture, which would be representative of what's going on in Friends.
Right.
I feel like that's like a 90s trend that has not made a comeback, and with good reason.
Interesting. The spiky hair?
The hair that is very obviously being held together with gel to make certain, like, you know?
Interesting. I'm looking up 90s hairstyles. Oh, butterfly clips. Good times.
I know, right?
The two pieces of hair draped in front of your face while the rest of your hair is tied back. Yep. Also good times.
Yep.
Great. Love it.
Rachel always pulls that off really well. Phoebe as well.
Yeah. The zigzag part. Big deal. Anyways, yes, you're right. There is a whole slew of different hairstyles.
It's interesting because I'm also currently rewatching Buffy and Angel. And I find it really interesting because they take place at around the same time, but it's a different age group, right? Like these folks are supposed to be like graduated from university and they're like living their lives in New York. And so there's like similar styles in both, but there's a very obvious like high school versus like adultness. There's a lot more of the butterfly clips and Buffy and the zigzag parts and like, you know, those sort of things. Whereas I feel like Friends, it's a little bit more bucket hats.
Oh. Bucket hats are Willows are doing hats. A comeback.
Yeah, that's a 90s trend that like definitely worth it. Not that I would ever pull off a bucket hat, nor would I want to.
No, nor do I. One thing that she says, she's like, I hope you cleaned your hair out of the drain. And I'm just like, Ross doesn't actually have that long hair. Like, is his hair the concern? Like,
maybe it's, I hope you cleared your gel out of the drain.
Nice. And then obviously Ross is just being like a big old baby and he's just like teasing Monica and repeating everything she's saying in like a whiny voice.
Oh my God.
And then I love Rachel's line here. It's just so good. It's like,
I've never wanted you more. Also, I will say that Rachel is so chill in this situation.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I would not be able to deal with this type of conflict.
Yeah, no, me neither.
And I will be honest, I would possibly have dumped him by now. You know?
Yeah, but for a thousand reasons.
Yeah, but
just this case alone.
Like, just this alone.
But she must have, like, witnessed some of it already when they were, like, just friends. Like, I think we're just seeing him there more. But, like, is he really there that much more than he was before they started dating?
It's a little bit weird.
Like, because he sleeps there now, which is the big difference, right? Like, yeah. I don't imagine he would normally have slept there.
And he's, like, acting as though it's, like, it's his girlfriend's place and, like, an extension of his place.
Yeah.
Man, he is just being so fucking rude. It just, like...
Yeah, I would not be okay with that.
No.
What I do kind of like is that, like, mostly Monica is trying to deal with the situation by, like, talking to Ross and, like, not being upset with Rachel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she's not like, oh, like, he's so annoying. She's just like, she's like talking to her brother about it because he's the one that's an issue. You know?
Yeah, what a situation, eh? It's like, it's your girlfriend's place and your sister's place.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah, but also, but no, it's just Ross is so far in the wrong of the entire episode. I really would have just, like, lost all respect for him and dumped him, I feel.
Yeah, but he did the pie in the hood thing.
that is a saving grace here. But also, like,
that's, like, above and beyond.
Like, I also just feel like Rachel is, like, too chill. You know, and you know what? This is explored in other episodes around Rachel's character, that she's kind of, like...
She's conflict.
Yeah, and she also just is called, like, a bit of a pushover. Mm-hmm. So, like, maybe it makes sense that she, like, wouldn't kind of, like, step in. But I just, like, would have zero tolerance for this, you know?
She gets a little bit upset later in the episode.
Yeah, but there's... I guess in my mind, there's, like, clearly a line. Like, this is Monica's home. Mm. Ross needs to step up. Like, in my mind, it's just, like, totally. So obviously clear. It's so unfair to Monica that, like, this is her only home. Ross can go home and do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah.
He can't just, like, come in here and make it his home, you know? Totally. And it's just, so I just feel for Monica so much.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks a lot.
I'm so angry at Ross.
But, like, yeah. It's also, like, if this was... Things like Ross taking a shower, like, if that was, like, Rachel's boyfriend that was not Ross, like, Monica being upset that he's taking a shower and taking long in the shower, like, it would be, like, a weird thing to be upset about. But, like, the call thing where when he that would be so annoying. That would be the worst.
Yeah. Or, like, later on when he's choosing that the TV they're going to watch is the specific thing.
Yeah.
When he has a TV... At home.
Yeah, go home, Ross.
That he can go watch.
Like, he's not even hanging out with Rachel in that situation. It's not like 2 vs. 1. It's like Rachel's doing her own thing and Ross is being the worst.
Yeah, it's, anyway. It's almost like he wants to, like, be like, oh, Rachel and I are now living together and you are the extra person that doesn't belong here, you know?
Yeah, it's brutal.
Anyway, don't be a Ross, folks. Don't be a Ross.
Anyways, so obviously we see that Chandler is sitting on his counter and he's kind of sad and he's talking to his little husky shoes.
Okay, we've changed scenes. Okay, yeah.
Yes, sorry. Yes, did I not say
that? Although, okay, before that, though, there's an extra scene on the DVD that Joey is alone in the apartment and he's sort of just, like, going around and, like, kind of, like, patting or, like, touching his different, like, weird statue animals. And then he buzzes downstairs to see if the...
Security guy?
Yeah, security person or the door person or, like, the building manager. We're not quite sure who it is that they're talking to wants to come up and hang out. And I want to point out that one of these people is called Howard. And that name, as, like, a building manager, will come up in... a future episode when Ross gets a new apartment.
Oh, that's the building manager, Howard. That's the guy's name.
Yeah.
The guy from Sex and the City.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I just thought I'd point that out.
Interesting.
So then we flash over to Chandler, who's talking to his doggy slippers, and Chandler finally decides to get the courage to call Joey. And it's a little bit of an awkward conversation, obviously. And then the oven timer goes off.
Why would the oven timer go off? Like, do you set it for 24 hours until the next episode releases the following day? What do they mean by oven timer going off? Like, isn't an oven timer for like 60 minutes? So what does that mean? Like, it just goes off every 60 minutes and then that's when Baywatch plays? Like, it makes zero sense. Is the oven timer for?
Oh, wow. This is very... I just always assumed that it could be like... I don't know if Baywatch was a daily thing, like a soap opera. But no. I always thought that it just, like, went off daily at the same time.
But how do you make an oven timer go off daily?
I think this might be an old school oven with, like, a clock that goes all the way around. You know, like a face clock instead of a digital clock.
Right. I know, but how do you set a timer for, like...
I don't know, Emily.
Like, it would be like an alarm, not a timer. A timer indicates that, like, you were timing something and the time is over. So, like, what was he timing? Like, did he set it from the previous day?
No, it's just like a daily alarm, I assumed.
But can you call an oven timer a daily alarm?
I genuinely think that, like, there were these, like, you know what? Never mind. I'm not gonna, you know what? Yeah.
I thought, like, an oven timer was, like, the things that you crank.
Yeah, but this one is actually on the oven. And it's, like, an alarm, like an alarm clock.
It's not. You see the scene where he picks it up. He picks the thing go up.
Oh. No. Really?
I thought you do.
Oh my God.
Can we pause this for a second? Because I need to see this.
I'm just going to leave it running.
You see him pick up, like, an item.
It's great. Oh, forget about it. I'm having a ball. How's the apartment doing? Oh, hey, it's terrific.
See, look,
it's
you see the actual oven timer.
Space. Fest?
See, look, wait.
Oh, well, great. Yeah, I just, you know, wanted to call and say, hey. Well, okay then. Was that the oven timer? That's right, my friend.
Oven timer there.
Well,
it's like a 60-minute oven timer.
That is weird.
Yeah. That's why I was confused.
I'm very confused too now. I just thought it was like their oven was broken and it went one ding every day at the same time. It's just like what I assumed, you know, because based on like Joey and Chandler in their apartment, that's what made the most sense.
Interesting. All right. Well, I'm going to do some research about this afterwards because I must know.
Okay. Okay.
I refuse to believe that you can set something for, like, the next day. Anyways.
Okay.
Moving on. We talked way too long about that. So let's also take a moment to talk about the fact that every time they show Baywatch, it's always the same scenes.
The exact same scenes.
Exact same scenes.
With them running.
Yeah. They're always running.
The brilliance is the running. I also want to take this opportunity for us to remind you again that Matthew Perry was dating Yasmin Bleeth in 1996 and 1997, so at the time this show came out.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, we've talked, you were the first one to talk about the fact that Matthew Perry dated her.
Did I? Oh my God, I don't even remember that.
Yes.
I am impressed that I knew that.
God. Yeah, so, and they were dating at the time of this show.
That's so cute. I love that.
Mm-hmm. And so then let's move on. Next scene, we're back at the cafe. There is no pie, there is no hood. Joey is kind of sitting around with, who's around him?
Monica and Phoebe, because Chandler has Ross and Rachel.
Right, right, right. And, you know, Joey is, like, talking about how he might want to, like, move back in.
Get back together with Chandler.
Yeah. And it's just, like, such a cute scene. Because it's, like, this is just how it sort of plays out when people, like, have emotions of a situation. And it's, like, a sensitive situation. And then you, like, pan over and you have Chandler and he's sitting on his couch and he's so sad. Yeah. And then
he's holding on to, like, a cushion in his stomach in the way that, like, literally everyone has ever held a cushion on their stomach when they're upset about something.
I know, exactly. And, you know, and Rachel and Ross are comforting him, but also kind of giving him some, like, tough love.
Yeah, it's very,
you know,
cute.
And I love the he's decorated. You're going to have to face it. You're just friends now. You're not roommates anymore.
He's moved on and you do too. Yeah, it's very cute. I also, like, it's like one of the first lines from the scene previously when Joey is sitting in the cafe, but he's like, you know, he was talking about, like, how he was so excited to live alone at first. And then he was like, I just thought I'd have more time for my thoughts. And it's like, turns out I don't have as many thoughts as you'd think.
And it's so cute. And it's just like, Joey, you did need to do this for yourself, but it's so sad.
Yeah, I'm, like, very proud of Joey's independence, but also it wasn't necessary. They love each other and they should be together.
Yeah.
Their friendship is solid.
Yeah, they have a lovely friendship. And you know what? I find it so, I really love how they explore this dynamic with, like, paralleling it to a relationship. And, like, I feel like you can pick this apart in a lot of different ways. And, like, there's always sort of, like, the intention of the writers. And let's face it, you know, Friends doesn't have a very good history with, like, you know, certain things. But I kind of like the idea of, like, paralleling it to a romantic relationship in the sense of, like, demonstrating how a platonic friendship can be this intimate and also have the same, like, legitimacy and feelings that would happen between the only types of relationships that people very often consider valid, which are romantic relationships. And I find that, like, interesting that kind of how, like, this can demonstrate that in a sense.
Like, we don't need to want them to date. We can still appreciate their love for each other, even if they don't date.
Exactly. You know?
But that being said, I also think, like,
you're like, but I also want them to date.
I also want them to date, but also, it's less so that I want them to date. It's more like, there's definitely a thing in which, like, shows make fun of the possibility of two men having intimate relationship in this way. Like, there's a certain level of, like, this whole storyline is, like, it's a joke. Like, you love them and you think it's very cute, but you also, like, it's clearly a joke, you know? And so, like, I think that I find, like, all too often whenever, like, men are demonstrating vulnerability or, like, closeness, it's only done in, like, a joke parody type way and not actually, like, demonstrating it in an actual way.
A Matthew parody kind of way.
Matthew parody. Wow. That was, like, one of the wittiest puns I've ever heard you say.
Ouch. I think.
No.
Great. Like, that was a compliment, but I think it was actually an insult.
It was, like, really fast. Sometimes you take a lot of time to come up with your jokes, and you have to, like, put a finger up and tell me that you're constructing a joke.
And then explain it after?
Yeah, exactly. That was, like, witty and fast, and you didn't explain it. That was, like, pretty legit.
Oh, damn.
Moved on.
But yeah, I guess that's what I kind of wanted to talk about, is, like, the idea of homoeroticism versus, like, male intimacy and just, like, the blurred lines of, like, how, like, I feel like over the last few years, there's more and more of an effort to try to just have, and also more acceptance to just have, you know, male intimacy in pop culture. Whereas, like, you know, the way that it has been received in the past, no matter how serious or not serious it was put out before, is just, like, any sort of male intimacy was seen as either like they're just gay together, or which came with a bunch of homophobic, you know, critique, I guess, or people couldn't really see male intimacy, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely like how that this show demonstrates that. I'm like trying to imagine different examples in which we can see a closeness between men's relationship. Like, I feel like in the early 2000s, or even like late early 2000s, that sounds weird, but like the 2008s, 9s, like there was this rise of like the bromance film theme. Like a lot of it was like Paul Rudd and Seth Rogen, and like, you know, I'm trying to think of like Jason Segel? No. Is that his name? Like, just like a bunch of movies that were like really about like bromance between men. And it was like intimacy between the two of them. It wasn't quite like the typical buddy comedy. Like, it's buddy comedy, but it's like more intimate. And there's this like relationship blossoming between two men that's like more about intimacy and not queer. But it's like,
yeah,
but there was like this big joke about bromance at the same time. Like, the only time you could talk about like men's friendships was like using the term bromance. Oh, they have such a bromance.
Yeah.
And it's like,
which is like just two men who are close friends who maybe emotionally support each other.
Yeah.
And are there for each other. And it's like, has to be a bromance. It's like romance, but it's for bros, and therefore like, you know, no homo.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God. No homo.
The no homo era.
It was the no homo era. Oh my God. It totally was. I mean, like, that's what I find is like so so different a little bit from this episode. Is like, this episode, you're seeing their intimacy, but like, it's a joke, but it's also not like the joke part doesn't remove the intimacy. Whereas I find sometimes in those bromance movies, like, the joke part does remove the intimacy. I don't even know if that makes sense, but like, I just feel as though the bromancer era was like a weird era in which we couldn't admit that men can have like friends. Like, men and women can't be friends, but like, men and men can't be friends without it being gay.
Like, yeah, it's so, yeah, yeah. I feel like it's been this long journey of like, kind of like sidestepping the situation and trying to like maneuver around the intense toxic masculinity within our culture of like, men can only bond over, you know, sexualizing women and being tough and locker rooms. You know,
and yeah, and they make fun of that like a little bit in the show a few times when they talk about like, oh yeah, let's go hammer up some drywall. Like, they hug and then they're like,
we are men.
Yeah, we make fire. Like, they definitely like make fun a little bit of like macho-ness, but like, not enough for like what's needed given the fact that there's just so much pervasive sexism in the show, Friends, and like pervasive toxic masculinity and like gross weird sex coercion.
Yeah, it's interesting though, because we definitely have had moments in this show where we've been very impressed with how like there has been a lot of intimacy and just like genuine support of each other, and it's just like, I just love to get into the heads of the people writing the show, you know, like David Crane and Marta Kaufman specifically, who are like creating it and sort of like trying to decipher, like, Were you having to sort of like look at the landscape of pop culture at the time and have to navigate between like both holding up this like can't go too far down this line of like male intimacy, otherwise like it will just be written off as, you know, like gay, which is like not the point of the situation. It's just men being allowed to emotionally support each other and demonstrating that on TV, and therefore like having to like counter it and balance it with some other things. Like, you know, it's interesting because it, you know, art makes culture and culture makes art, you know, like it's a two-way thing. Like, putting something on TV and pop culture and mainstream media will be received a certain way depending on where mainstream media is, you know? Yeah. And I wonder if it's just like that constant game of having to like, how do you push things in the way you want it to go and demonstrate things, but like not be too far off the mark that you're written off entirely, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I also like wonder a little bit if like Chandler is a bit of like a queer baiting character in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about that before. Yeah. It definitely feels that way. And like, as much as I love where his character goes and how, you know, how where he ends up in a relationship at the end of the series, not to give anything away, you know, but, you know, there's also a part of me that's like disappointed that that was never explored. And I feel like if the series were have to been put out today, it might, it would be different. It would definitely be different, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's also like, yeah, it's interesting. They have like, they're trying to show intimacy between the two of them, but they also like have a lot of episodes in which they're like, they're literally like, they could have written like no homo in the script. Literally. Like they have so many episodes where like,
mm-hmm.
they're like panicking at the possibility of someone perceiving them as gay. And so it's like, it's this weird, it's just, anyways.
Well, like mostly specifically Chandler. First Chandler, definitely the most. And then secondly, you have Ross, but more being concerned about his son being gay.
But and also, then, yeah, I think there's just this like general, like they shouldn't do anything that's feminine because it's going to be considered gay. Like they have a lot of that as jokes throughout the entire show.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I feel like we've been talking about this for a little bit. But
so, okay. So then we're going to move right along. So I think the next day, where are we?
Phoebe is in the recording studio.
Oh, right. So we flip over. We're in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in a very fancy recording studio. Phoebe's sitting alone in the room. And she starts singing. And then suddenly there's some people singing with her. And she has a very Phoebe reaction. And then turns around and sees that there's, like, backup singers. Which I just feel like, you know, Phoebe, I think you're selling out here. I feel like we've heard you talk about this song and try to teach it to other people so many times. And there's no way that like Phoebe would be okay with there being backup singers to Smelly Cat. It just crushes the essence of Smelly Cat.
Wow. Interesting. I just find it weird that like she wasn't expecting there to be backup singers. Like they didn't think to tell her.
Yeah. Also, there's just, okay. I know nothing about the music industry, but you definitely would practice this first.
Yeah, it's a weird scenario.
Or like overlay it after. Like, I don't know. It's just like,
yeah,
it's all very strange.
Like clearly she didn't have that much information before going into the recording studio, and then they're like, it costs a lot of money to be here, so you better hurry up.
$100 a minute is what they say.
The cat stinks, but you love it. Good line.
So then we flip back to Monica and Rachel's apartment. Ross is on the phone, and he's having a very large argument in the main room. Rachel's not even there, by the way. And he's having a very loud argument on the phone about the Flintstones dinosaur Dino.
And whether or not it's a velociraptor.
Yeah. And you know what, folks?
It's not.
I looked into this for us all. So apparently the Dino on the show is referred to as, oh no, a snorkosaurus or a dogosaurus on multiple occasions.
But a snorkosaurus is not a real thing.
No, it's not a real dinosaur. But then I looked into what people, like what Dino was actually based off of. And he was based off of a sauropod, which is an herbivorous long-necked dinosaur.
Okay, please don't judge me for what I'm about to ask you.
Do you not know what a sauropod is? Because that's just fucking ridiculous.
No.
I'm just kidding.
I thought that humans and dinosaurs were not alive at the same time.
They weren't.
Okay, cool. Moving on. So the Flintstones is inaccurate in multiple ways.
Yes, exactly.
Okie dokie. That being said, going back, if Dino was a velociraptor, he would have eaten the Flintstones, which is legit.
Yeah, exactly, which is why a sauropod, probably based off of a sauropod, which is an herbivore, and therefore...
Prosauropod. There's a couple of different kinds. Sauropodomorphs.
Yeah, there's like a whole, they're a whole class.
They're herbivores, is that it?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
An extinct clade of long-necked herbivorous saurischian dinosaurs that include sauropods and their ancestral relatives.
It's cute that they say extinct.
I know.
In case you didn't know, dinosaurs do not exist anymore. Unlike Jurassic Park tells you. They're not around.
I feel like in that show, though, Jurassic Park, they were extinct, but then they were de-stinct.
Distinct. Not sure if that's the term.
I feel like that's the technical term.
Well, yeah, it's because they take, like, the, like, DNA of like, a
mosquito. Yeah, so, like, they were extinct, and then they revive the lineage, and so, like, they de-stinct.
Extinct no longer. Now they just stinked.
I mean, it's probably true. I once watched a Bill Nye the Science Guy episode that really stuck with me from my childhood, where someone asked him if dinosaurs farted, and apparently... from all of the scientists know, dinosaurs, herbivorous dinosaurs, were probably just farting continuously throughout the entire day. One long stream of air coming out of their butt.
Because that's herbivores. It's like very much like the vegan life. It's true. Yo, I'm a vegan. It's intense. Okay, we've got on a large tangent on this one. So obviously Ross is such a dick in this scene in which he's talking very, very loudly. I also find this like scene to be like scripted poorly. Like I think that it was like poorly said. Like he's like, "Were you sleeping?" And she's like, "I was." And like that's what he asked you. Like it would have been better if it's like if he was like, "Oh, sorry, are you sleeping?"
Right.
And then she's like, "I was." Like, but it just feels weird to say, like, "Were you sleeping?" And then she's like, "Yes, I was," in the past tense, which is what you just asked me. Like, she was making it sound like it was, like, a sarcastic bite back, but it was, like, anyways, whatever.
It was lost.
It was a grammar but
maybe,
issue.
Maybe that's kind of the point, because, like, they're just being children, you know?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and then he, like, takes a call that's, like, not, you know, that's for her. He doesn't take the number. Also, what I have in my notes here is, like, remember the time?
Yeah.
I swear to God, rewatching this is starting to, like with such intention, is starting to make me feel old.
And also because, very thankful for the technology we have today.
Yeah, definitely that. But then also just, like, we are getting to the age now that, which is, like, we're not that old, but, like, the age that our parents used to be, like, "Oh, remember when we were kids, we had to do this?" And it's like, this is how I feel every time I watch this show.
Like, do you remember, like, leaving the house and not being contactable? Like, people, you would leave the house and people would not be able to contact you. Like, what a time.
Yeah.
Landlines. And, like, you would call your friend and then, like, if they were, like, using the internet, no way were you talking to them.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Remember dial-up?
Yeah, I remember the noise. It will forever haunt me. That was pretty good.
Thanks.
But yeah, so then obviously Monica's mom calls through and then Ross is like a dick and pretends that it's not their mom.
And also like, okay, and then passes the phone over to Monica and she starts it off with like, "Have you seen my diaphragm?" Which like...
Would you say that in front of your brother?
But I like that's part of what I was thinking, but also like is that what you would open up with right away, you know?
But she says like, "Hi sweetie, before I forget." Like she's like clearly it was on her mind and she didn't want to forget.
Right. Anyway.
But also that's like a pretty intense thing to ask to someone.
It's also a hilarious prank.
Yeah, it's like
that like panned out perfectly for Ross.
Perfectly. Exactly what he wanted.
And him dancing there.
Yeah. Because, like, part of me feels as though, like, if his mom called through and Monica knew it was, like, her mom on the line, she'd be like, ugh, I don't even want to speak to my mom. So not, like, I feel like part of it was, like, Ross just being like, haha, I'm going to, like, have her excited to talk to the, to her boyfriend, but it's actually her mom, which sucks. But then she says, like, this very right. embarrassing thing.
Because also, if she knew it was her mom, she'd probably be like, I don't want to talk to her.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's a great moment. A good prank that panned out.
And then we find out that Ross can juggle.
Yeah.
Because she throws oranges at him.
That's also really cool.
Like, there's just, it's so great.
Yeah.
I will say that David Schwimmer just, like, really brings Ross's character to life in all the best and worst ways.
Also, like, in all the ways that I hate Ross, this show would not be as amazing as it is without him.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like, I would hate to have him be a real human being in my life and, like, in my friend group. Like, he's just, mm-hmm. like, a really rough human being in so many ways. But I think we talked about this last time. Like, if Ross was a side character, he'd be way more of a fun side character. But if mm-hmm. but the fact that he's, like, a full character.
Yeah.
Like, you're just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, there's just so many good Ross moments with the sandwiches. Anyways.
Okay, you're jumping ahead, Emily.
Spoilies! Sandwiches is a spoiler. Okay. Anyways.
Okay, so then
Joey goes to walk into his old apartment, and then he goes to open the door, but then he's like, oh, I can't open the door. I don't live here anymore. And so then he knocks instead, and mm-hmm, then he goes
that
in.
That awkward moment. It's mm-hmm. just, like, so relatable. Again, you know, like, you're in, like, that. They're just depicting that zone of, like, redefining your relationship to someone so well, you know, like that transitional phase where it's like you're close, but like, does this change things?
They're really like demonstrating the way like breakups are awkward.
Yeah.
And like, it's just really interesting that they're doing it with like a friendship.
The way they do it is also just feels really cathartic.
Yeah.
You know, like watching it, there's like a certain satisfying aspect where you're like,
yeah,
it is like that.
Yeah. Like you're mad for Joey that Chandler is eating someone else's eggs.
And it's like, this makes no sense, but it makes so much sense.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like what the whole scene is. Like, maybe it's not about the juice.
Yeah, it's so beside the point, but it is exactly the point.
But wait, so that is not the scene in the end, actually, because they end up, this is when they first meet.
Oh, right. It's the moose hat situation.
Yeah, the moose hat. So he walks into the apartment and he sees Eddie there and he's like, oh my God. And the way they describe like Chandler running into Eddie, like, I feel like it's like the way you describe like a meet cute, you know, like, again, it's like one of those, like painting it as more of like a romantic thing. Like, oh yeah. Like, oh, this is new. You're dating someone new. And then he's like, oh yeah, we just like met at the grocery store and we got to talking and it was like, like things just like spiraled so quickly. Like I couldn't help myself. Like, you know, I have a spare room.
It's a great moment. It's very sad for Joey as well. Yeah. You just like see it in his face.
Yeah. But, well, Joey was the one who decided to move on.
I know. Right. But
he's definitely having deep regrets.
Yeah. I also, on a plus side for Joey, a win for Joey, is that somehow he actually pulls off that moose hat really well.
He does.
Like, he puts it on. Like, you're like, that's a hideous moose hat. And then Joey puts it on, and you're like, I want one of those.
Yeah, I see it. I also want to know where it's from. Did he say?
No.
Yeah.
But then Chandler makes the great joke of when you start using moose in your hair.
Yeah. You know? And then it's just this cute moment where Eddie's like, oh my God, isn't he the greatest? And Joey's like, Yeah, he is. And you're just like, Joey's like regretting his like breakup. And then right away, like the next scene, they like, they keep that storyline going where Rachel's just like, he's just a rebound roommate.
Yeah.
Aw, it's so cute.
So then we're back into Monica and Rachel's apartment. Mm-hmm. And Phoebe comes in being like, the Smelly Cat video, it's here.
She is very excited, and she was like, I haven't seen it yet, but so...
If you don't like it, too bad. It's not like any of you have made a video.
So what? None of you ever made a video?
And Ross is like, yeah.
I like that. Like, I love how he's like, that's legit. That's a legit thing to say.
And then they start watching it, which, by the way, everyone, the DVD version in the special features has an extended Smelly Cat video.
I don't know.
Like, the full, like, if you were to watch it... Oh, you know, on MTV or whatever. Anyway, you can technically also search it on YouTube, but I'm going to post a link to it on our Patreon page.
That's very exciting.
Wow. Yeah. And it'll just be open to everyone, FYI.
Nice. Yeah, it's also, there's some very like key 90s things going on in this video, like spaghetti straps. We got like choker necklaces. We've got really awkward hairstyles. We've got like tight but weird dresses with like capes. No, not capes. What are they called? Shawls? Like, I feel like shawls in the 90s were like a real thing. Like, you got to cover up your spaghetti straps with shawls.
You know, the dress that Phoebe is wearing in this episode looks like the bridesmaid dresses, the junior bridesmaid dresses
that I was thinking about that
for our aunt's wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly and,
it. But it's also like this really weird fabric, like a plastic bag fabric.
Yeah, it's like and vinyl. No, not vinyl.
It has like a Disney princess look to it. Disney princess meets plastic bag.
Yeah.
It's very strange. It's a very strange video overall.
But like, do you remember that? Like when like scarves
Like
double as shawls, which would double as like necklace, like neck accessory.
Yeah.
It was like a necklace, but not. It was like also a shawl.
Yeah.
And you wore it with your spaghetti straps for like if your spaghetti strap arms got cold.
But there was also nothing to the shawl because it was literally like 6 inches wide and pretty much see-through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that. I remember you having a few of those.
For sure I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, the 90s was like a time.
Yeah. I really hope that look doesn't come back in.
It's all going to come back. We're just in a perpetual cycle of recycling.
Yeah, you're right.
Fashion.
But did you know, Emily?
Tell me.
Okay, I'm going to tell you a few different little infos about this music video. First of all, on a side note, Lisa Kudrow was actually in a music video about 4 years prior. She was in Ice Cube's music video.
Excellent.
True to the Game, which is on the Death Certificate album in 1991. And she plays the girlfriend of the person who Ice Cube kidnaps. I have not seen the video myself.
Yeah, it sounds like you haven't.
No, I'm reading it off of a thing here. And, okay, so that aside, which is just interesting because, you know, it's cute. Now she's in a video in the TV show that, I don't know, it's meta? I don't know. But then, okay,
that's not what matters.
We're going to go to the scene where, like, the opening scene of Smelly Cat.
Get out of here, cat, you stink!
Beautiful. Pause it there. Now, the bottom left corner, like any good music video being played on MTV, there's some little infos about it. So it's like Smelly Cat and then Phoebe Buffay or whatever. And then the production company, which is BKC Records.
Okay.
Which is Bright, Kaufman, and Crane.
Cute.
And then the director of the video is named as A. Chase, which is actually a reference to Adam Chase, which is the writer of this episode.
That's very cute.
Yeah.
That's like they sneak that in for you.
Yeah, isn't that fun?
That's very cute.
I love it when creators of like visual media like that just like little inserts into things like that. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's just so much fun to find.
Yeah, and then obviously Phoebe thinks that this is her.
I sound so good. Now I hear what you guys hear.
Incredibly talented.
And so this is the point where brings up my wanting to like talk about Phoebe and her having a relationship that's kind of like different than everyone else's, you know, like I feel like for no other person would they just sort of sit there and listen, you know, like I feel like anyone else, you'd be like, that's not you.
Yeah, they'd, like, try to reason with her. But, like, I feel like you could tell, based on this interaction, that they've tried to reason with her about other things in the past, and they just decided it was easier not to.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's very interesting.
Isn't there, like, a scene that happens just, like, very isn't there an episode in which something like this happens as well, in which they all are like, yes.
Yeah, I definitely feel like this is like a pattern. But yeah, anyway, it's just like, I feel like they just acknowledge that Phoebe is a little bit in her own existence.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like, we don't understand that existence. And so.
But we'll let you do it.
we're around you and we love you and we're just going to see where this goes.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely let Phoebe just like be Phoebe a lot.
Emily, if I ever am in Phoebe's situation, you better tell me immediately that that is not my voice.
I will 100% tell you if you ever make a video about a not so nice smelling animal of any kind and someone dubs your voice.
Are you saying that the cat's not nice?
I said not so nice smelling.
Okay, cool. I'm just making sure because I feel like that would have been really unfair.
Not everyone who stinks is mean.
Exactly. Yeah. That was my point.
You stink and you're mean.
Okay. We better move forward.
Moving on.
Okay.
Speaking of comparing our relationship to Ross and Monica's relationship.
Seriously.
Okay. So then next scene, this is the scene where Joey thinks like he should knock and then he doesn't know if he should knock and blah, blah, blah. And then he walks in and the mail is not where the mail normally is. Who moved the mail?
Eddie likes the mail over there.
Yeah. Eddie likes to keep it over there. The way he says it, it's just like, I feel like he's okay. You know when, like, you see someone break up with someone and, like, you could clearly tell they're trying to make their ex jealous? Like, it's just, like, one of those things where, like, they're posting things on their Instagram or they're, like, doing things and you're, like, you're clearly trying to make your ex jealous right now. Like, I feel like Chandler is trying to make Joey jealous a little bit on purpose.
Right.
And then maybe Joey is very jealous.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great moment, you know?
See ya, pals.
See pals.
And then this is the egg scene.
Yeah, and to be honest, like, every time I watch this scene, I just really want eggs. And after we finish recording this episode, I'm going to go make eggs.
Do you want to go for brunch after this?
Well, now maybe I do.
Okay, moving on. Yeah, so it always makes me want to have breakfast. And it also makes me think of how often I don't make good breakfasts, like, with people around me. I need to make more.
I think it reminds me of how little I take care of myself.
Makes me think of how few groceries I currently have in my fridge. They have not one, but two cartons of juice. Actually, I always have surplus juice in my fridge. You will never have to worry about me not having juice for you. Okay. But okay, so Chandler is like, or Joey says to Chandler, he's like, I thought you liked your eggs with like the bread and the whole.
Which is such a child way of making eggs.
What is that called again? There's a thing.
The toad in the hole? Or
actually, I just Googled it and it's called an egg in a hole. So it's not very creative. But I think that's really cool. And you know what I used to do? I used to take peppers and like slice them. And so you have like those peppers that are like the shape of the pepper, whole circle. And then you put that on the pan and then you crack an egg into it. And then you have like a pepper around your egg, like hugging your egg.
I remember that you used to do that.
You see that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. It was delicious. I think it was like a way for me to get vegetables because I'm very not good at getting vegetables in my life.
Fun ways to insert vegetables into life.
And then we see like everything break down a little bit. Joey tries to pour himself some juice.
Okay. I love, love, love this scene.
Yeah.
Because how they set it up camera-wise is Joey's like goes to pour the juice into his cup. And right behind him, like through his arm, you see the other
carton of juice
sitting on the counter. He's like trying to pour the juice and there's none left. And he snaps in that moment. Yeah. And I love it because it's like he's snapping and you, the person watching, can see the other juice right there. It's like so perfectly done.
It's so good. This is also like another one of those scenes.
The people who need the juice need the juice.
Yeah, like this scene, the pie scene, and like the very end when they're all singing Smelly Cat together at the end, which is better in the DVD version. Those are like three, for me, iconic Friends scenes, which is why like I don't find this episode in itself very memorable, but I remember like all those scenes to me are super memorable Friends scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then obviously he's like Chandler then now is like also upset and he's like, well, why does it matter? Your eggs aren't here anymore. You took your eggs and you left.
Good point, Chandler. Good point. But you don't get to be angry about this. I'm trying to move on with my life. You left me.
It's like super real though. I think it's like a very real argument. It's like,
it's so cathartic.
This person is like, you can't just like break up with me and leave and then like get upset that I've moved on. You shouldn't have broken up with me in the first place then. You shouldn't have let me start eating someone else's eggs.
The look in Emily's eyes.
Breakups are hard, yo. Moving on.
Anywho,
we're back in Monica and Rachel's apartment.
This is where they're arguing about the TV, which we've already made the point earlier. Go home. Go home and watch TV somewhere else or watch the TV that other people are watching. Mm-hmm. I like how Rachel's just like, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm going to go take a long hot bubble bath.
Because you kids are driving me crazy.
It's great. I refuse to be sucked into this Geller dimension.
Yeah.
It's so good. Great. So good.
And like they needed to hear that a little bit. Then I love how like Monica tries to be reasonable and she's like, okay, Ross, what are we going to do about this situation? Because clearly it's not working. And then he's just like such a dick. He's like, I guess we could tape Entertainment Tonight.
God, punch him in the face. So here's the thing is that like on Monica's end, like Monica is intentionally not pulling in Rachel. It feels, you know, like,
yeah.
Ross is the one that turns to Rachel and is like, she keeps changing the channel.
Yeah, go ahead and tell mommy on me.
You know, and I just feel like this is actually where Monica could very much turn to Rachel, maybe not with Ross around, but have a very direct conversation with Rachel and be like there is a part of like having a roommate and then your roommate starting to date someone who's there all the time that like needs to be directly navigated. You know, it's not like this person can come in and just like do whatever. It has to be within the bounds of like, you know, what this other person, like this is their primary home. This is where they live, you know?
Yeah. I do think that like, it definitely feels like one of those scenarios in which like they need to sit down and talk about it. But also like, there's only so much Rachel can do. Like obviously Rachel can talk to Ross about it and be like, okay, you need to like respect Monica's boundaries while you're here. But, like, I also feel as though, like, this is, like, very much a Monica and Ross dynamic that, like, is showing up when they are together a lot. And, like, I don't know. Yeah, I guess, like, I guess Rachel does have a certain responsibility to, like, deal with Ross. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, it's kind of complicated because, like, Rachel knows Ross through Monica and her relationship with Monica. Technically from the beginning, right? And so it's like it's a whole other complicated mess of things when you're dating someone's brother.
Yeah, it's interesting because like this whole episode, like between Chandler and Joey and these two, it's like transitions in relationships and like relationship dynamics, you know, like them, it's like them separating and then having a new person in it, and then here it's like a new relationship starting and like Monica being in the middle of it. And it's and like things that have to be navigated in like touchy situations.
That's true. It's interesting.
Themes.
This is where we get a Monica is passive aggressive thing that is not valid though. I feel like Monica has been the most valid up until this exact moment.
Oh my God, yeah.
Which like, but I also get what she's doing. Like I get how she's like, okay, you know what? Like I don't actually care that much. Like we can just watch what you want to watch. And then she's like bad that he decides that he wants to watch okay, what wait, he wants to
I'm
watch.
I'm going to pause you for a second. So what happens is that they wrap up their argument.
Yeah.
You know, Monica tells Ross that she hated him when they were kids, like, and he can't act like when they were kids.
She tells it to him in her excellent outfit.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, every time I watch this episode, I'm like, I want that exact outfit.
That outfit is so into right now.
Well, I'm just a regular Joe then. So they sit down and they're like, okay, we'll watch Entertainment Tonight. And then Monica basically says, like, okay, I don't need to watch Entertainment Tonight.
The Serengeti thing.
And, she said, I think. And she's like, we can watch the Serengeti thing that he wanted to watch. And she didn't actually mean it. It was like, it was kind of like she was maybe testing him. Like maybe not fully intentionally, but what she had actually wanted to happen is for her to be like, no, 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 we can watch the Serengeti thing. And then for him to be reassuring to her and be like, no, 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 no. I'm going to watch Entertainment Tonight with you.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what she actually wanted. Mm-hmm. But Ross, it's not his responsibility to read her mind in this situation.
I get what you're saying, and I want, like, I definitely agree. But just, like, to look at the other side of things. As a younger sibling, like, She even has told him that she grew up her whole life, like, he always got his way. He always, like, mm-hmm. was allowed to be right. Like, a lot of this behavior is, like, learned passive aggressiveness through years of never getting her way. And, like, just, like, steaming in anger for never being able to actually get her way. And therefore ending up just shutting her mouth and not saying anything because it's just easier to not say anything. Which is, like, a very...
Are you talking about Monica now or yourself?
We're talking about Monica, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's just easier to be passive aggressive sometimes when you know that you're not going to get your way either way. So might as well just not say anything and then like be kind of annoyed about it. It's not valid. I'm not saying it's valid, but it's like, I definitely understand where it's coming from. And then on the flip side, I think she's definitely like quote unquote testing him, like you said. Like she wants him to turn around and be like, no, 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 it's okay. We'll watch Entertainment Tonight. But, like, he clearly hasn't learned anything as well from the conversation. Because, like, even though what she did was not valid, he still is, like, he was, like, just trying to, like, appease her for 2 seconds. She would, like, stop talking. And so they could just, like, chill. And then the moment she gives him, like, even half a green light. Like, it's, like...
That wasn't a half a green light. That was a very direct... green light.
Totally. But he's just like, okay. And like, he like clearly like is just like not like to me, he didn't genuinely extend to her being able to watch her show. Like,
right. But
I feel like it was just showing the dynamic that they have, which is that she has never been able to really ask what she wants. And she only gets what she wants when Ross appeases to her. And so, like, to me, that's kind of what it's demonstrating is that, like, that's, like, an ongoing thing in their relationship. I'm not saying what she did is valid and that, like, her anger is valid. But it's, like, her annoyance is, like, I get why she's annoyed.
So
we get to the last scene. We're almost last scene. This is Phoebe discovering that she is not the person singing on the music video.
Right. They're in the cafe. Yeah. She's like, that's not me singing. Mm-hmm. No way. How'd you find out?
They made me sign this paper that said it was okay for someone else to sing for me.
That was my first clue.
That's really great. Yeah.
This poor other woman. What Phoebe's about you, so Phoebe?
This is like such a Phoebe thing where she like just like... really cares about this poor human that she doesn't know at all. Like, oh my God, she's smelly cat. There's some excellent Phoebe moments here in general when she's just like, you have to pay attention to like Rachel. And then like, this is just like very much, the scene is very much like Phoebe wrapped up.
Yeah, it's very cute.
And then, like, it doesn't really conclude outside of that. That's just kind of how it ends.
Right.
Well, except for the last scene.
Yeah, I think we can make the assumption at this point that she's backing out of this video situation. Yeah,
probably. Mm-hmm.
And then in the next scene, you have Chandler, who wants to play foosball with Eddie, who's mm-hmm. sitting quietly on the couch reading, which is could not be more of the opposite of Joey.
Yeah.
And Eddie's response to Chandler wanting to play foosball is, I'm not really into sports.
Which, like, honestly, I feel like that's really how I feel. Like, maybe not me now, but, like, me 5 years ago, like, any excuse to not get off the couch to, like, do a thing, an activity, like,
yeah,
like, you want to play this game? I'm not really into sports. And then, obviously, he kind of, like, shits on Chandler for liking Baywatch.
It's like, yeah. It's just, which is just rude. People. But again, it's just like a very classic, like, new roommate situation, you know, where,
or even like new partner situation too, right? Like, there's a little bit of that happening too. Like, you're slowly starting to reveal yourself to your partner.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Roommate. Yeah.
The honeymoon is over. It sort of seems. And then we have this amazing, they miss each other montage to All by Myself.
Yeah, and Quinn and I obviously were singing while rewatching it.
Yes, and we recommend you do the same.
Yes.
And
oh my god, and then Joey, like this scene where Joey's like laughing and then he turns to like look at Chandler in the chair next to him and he's like, oh, he's not there. My heart breaks.
I know. And then you have like the Chandler looking out the window when it's raining, and then it transitions to Joey looking through the like water glass thing from the beginning of the episode.
So excellent. Yeah. Again, another excellent scene.
Yeah, just beautiful, beautiful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where the episode ends. So we have like the wrap-up scene and they're in the cafe.
Yeah.
And it's so, just to let you all know, the extended version of this episode
on the DVD
of this scene is just so much better than the one that you get on like Crave or HBO or whatever it is these days. Any of those streaming platforms that are obviously inferior to Netflix. Wow. I'm sorry, but like every other platform does not compare to Netflix.
This is not an affiliate.
Yeah, we are not sponsored. I'm just continuously annoyed with Disney Plus and Crave.
Yeah, it's way, yeah, for sure.
I haven't tried Hulu, so I wouldn't know.
But yeah, no, because the reason why it's so much better in the DVD version is that, so in the streaming version, the last part that you see is Phoebe basically telling Ross there's no more lines and therefore he can't sing any part of the song. But then the extended version, she then says, and back to the chorus, and they all start singing with her. And like Quinn and I were discussing, we were like thinking this feels like it starts to become a little bit unscripted. Like, they're all just, like, being really silly. And you get this really cute moment where, like, Chandler and Monica are sitting next to each other. And they're, like, holding hands. And it's just, like, this very genuine friend moment that doesn't feel like Friends, the TV show friend moment. But, like, real friends in real life just enjoying each other's company.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know if that's a testimony to, like, how good of actors they are. But, or a testimony of, like, how close of friends they are in real life.
Yeah, and like the real chemistry that they all have.
Yeah.
Which it's probably a little bit of both.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's very cute.
Who do you think is the best friend of this episode?
Who do you think?
I think there's two contenders in my mind. I feel like Chandler has like some moments of like being, I don't know, being a friend in the sense that like he's like, trying to accept that his friend has moved on, like Joey has moved on.
Right. Yeah.
And he's like just accepting his new where he is now in life, and he's just gotta like move on and is not gonna go crawling back to Joey and like give him the space that he needs. And so like to me that's like a bit of a good friend moment. And then like he's clearly trying to become friends with Eddie and like build that relationship with Eddie. But then my other contender is Phoebe, because she's like just really wants to be a good friend to like the smelly cat lady. And like,
yeah, I agree.
But she kind of like is rude to a few people in this episode too.
Is
but,
she?
Well, you need to pay attention.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like that's such a gif-able one. I should gif that more often.
That's so true. Yeah, I
definitely not Ross or Monica.
I feel like I want to give it to Chandler just because, like, you know, he's doing his best to just sort of, like, take things in stride and not cramp Joey's style. Mm-hmm. He's the first to call Joey and, like, apologize for not being there, even though they both know that, like, he just didn't go, you know? Like, I think that, you know, he takes the first
step.
I don't know. Yeah. It's a toss-up, really.
Yeah.
Before we go, I just want to quickly touch base about whether or not we're going to still stay on Spotify. And the very short answer is, like, yes, we're not pulling our podcast from Spotify. If anyone hasn't heard, essentially, like, to just very briefly sum up the situation, Spotify bought Joe Rogan exclusive rights to produce his show and to, like, host the show, essentially, for, like, tens of millions of dollars about a year ago or so. Despite the fact that he is putting out a lot of vaccine and COVID misinformation, and Spotify hasn't really done anything about it. Then you have enter Neil Young, who doesn't particularly appreciate that, thinks that it's very problematic, and basically takes a stand and is like, it's either my music on Spotify or Joe Rogan. And obviously they chose Joe Rogan because they paid millions and millions of dollars for his show. And so now you can't listen to Neil Young on Spotify, everyone.
And then a bunch of podcast hosts have started pulling.
Yeah, a lot of podcasts. And I think even some other musicians have, like, pulled their music off of Spotify. And so I think some of the questions right now is, like, are you also pulling your podcast off of Spotify? And I just want to state that we're not. But on your end, if you ever wanted to listen to our podcast not on Spotify, we are on every other directory. So if you choose to cancel your membership with Spotify or subscription or whatever it's called, do not fear. We are everywhere.
Very creepy. But yeah, Apple.
Apple, Stitcher is another.
You know where you could see where we are? You could go to our website and see all the cute little links.
Yeah, our brand new website. Yes. So head over to our website, follow us on every platform because it helps our numbers. Anyways,
have a great, great day. Enjoy this February cold. All right, this needs to end. Keep deconstructing
and diversifying
the media you consume.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of What the Phalange. If you're picking up what we're putting down, please consider supporting us on Patreon, leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, and or sharing us with all of your friends on social media.
You can find us at whatthephalangepodcast.com, email us at wtphalange@gmail.com, DM us on Twitter at WTPhalangePod or follow us on Instagram at WTPhalangePodcast. All links will be included in the show notes below.
Want to get in touch with us each individually? You can find Emily on Twitter as EmilyB__, and that's Emily with an IE.
And you can find Quinn at TheBasicNB on Instagram. Keep deconstructing
and diversifying
the media you consume.